Okay, we continue in the Sefer Silas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We are on page Memches at the bottom by the little diamonds. The Silas Yesharim is discussing how, because the intelligent people seem to gravitate towards the Talmud and studies like that, while the people who are not as intelligent seem to focus on works of Musar and Avodas Hashem. So what happens is that both groups are deficient in their true approach to Chassidus, because the ones who are learning it don't know how to learn it properly, and the ones who could aren't. And therefore it remains very few people involved in this. So we're at the bottom of page Memches. So ha'emes ha'amitis nimtzos etzel osa adam shechaye secho shalo em chazaki ma'od v'chaye ha'regesh shalo chazaki ma'od v'em po'alim b'shiluv b'harmonia m'leya. So if you recall, what the Tzaddik's been talking about for the last couple sessions is the idea of a person can be very strong intellectually but not strong emotionally, and there's those who are strong emotionally and not strong intellectually. And the truth is that you have to find a person where you have both working in harmony. And that's where it really should be. But now he talks about those who, so to speak, suffer a certain type of split personality. What does he mean? Sichlo shakua b'torah. The intellect is very much involved in learning Torah. The intellect's in a good place. And his feelings and sensitivities, he pours them into doing acts of kindness, which is also good. So you could have a person who's strong in both, but there's still a problem. You'll see in a minute. His feelings are very good and strong. But ma baya, what's the problem? The problem is, he learns Torah properly. And regarding feeling, helping other people, he has feelings for other people, he activates it. It's also a very positive thing. So you're wondering what could be wrong. Next page, Memtes. That's all very positive. But a person is supposed to be one and not two. Which means, a person has to activate his intellect and his feelings in the same point. Meaning to say, when you're learning Torah, you have to activate the intellect and the feelings at the same time. And also, when one is doing acts of kindness, you have to reflect using your intellect how to help you to know how to do it with your heart. The emotion and the intellect have to work together in each place, not separately. In other words, and he's going to elaborate on this, in other words, you don't just learn Torah with a cold intellect, and you just don't do acts of kindness with a hot emotion. You've got to intertwine the intellect with the emotion when you're doing acts of kindness, and the emotion with the intellect when you're learning Torah. He will explain. But if you don't, it's like you have a split personality, a spiritual split personality. You're learning Torah just with your mind, you're doing activities just with your emotions. You might wonder, well, what's wrong with that? You're going to see. Now, before he was talking about people who only use their intellect, they don't use their emotion. He talked about people who only use their emotion, not their intellect. Now he's talking about people who even use both, and it's still not going to work out. So he says, "Kemoshi divrei Torah ashir b'makom v'aniim b'makom achar." There's a similar concept in the Talmud that you could look in one place in the Torah and there's a lot of information. Another place in the Torah, there's not a lot of information. And the job, what you're supposed to do, is to apply the where there's a lot of information, and that will help us fit in to the place where there isn't a lot of information. To say, well, just like we know everything, you know, for example, you know, how do we know that we have to eat in the sukkah on the night of the 15th, you know, because we know we have to eat matzah on the night of the 15th of Pesach, so what it says over here, it applies over there as well. You can't just say, well, what the Torah said over here has nothing to do with over there. There's a principle, whatever makes sense to reasonably associate two different concepts together, that's what you do. So that's already a principle in Torah learning. So therefore, kach gam ba'adam ba'atzmo, so it is in the same person himself. So we see that Hashem, for example, has given certain forces and power and strength into one part of the human being. In the brain in one place. In the heart another place. So some person's got to search and find the strengths and intertwine them. What's that finding? To find that they are unified. Now he's going to give you examples. He gave this example in one of his other books. Person's looking for a shidduch. An example, person looking for a shidduch, looking to get married. Heitzilo isha m'Australia. They find for him a girl who lives in Australia. Okay. V'achrei birurim u'pkishus. And after lots of investigation, they check out the girl. Huchot shacheinir shazel aziga hamiyud lo. He figures, you know, this looks like my shidduch. Everything seems to work out. She went to a nice school. Has nice parents, this and that. Got a picture of her, whatever. Husamech, what?
He said Pekishas, didn't they meet?
Oh, maybe they met as well. It depends who they met. Maybe they met the Shadchanim, I'm not sure. But you'll see, it doesn't matter. Husamech, well, he's very happy. Modal of our Olam, whatever that stands for, Shabbat Hashem Matzah Zivugo. He thanks Hashem, that thank God he found the Shidduch. It's amazing. No, see, that's why you see it's not that it matters, you'll see. No, Sol Australia Tishchaten. So now go to Australia and get married to her. Baruch Hashem. Lo, he says, no, what are I going to do that for? Baruch Hashem, what's up? Thank God I found her. Yishvul Matzah, what's up? Why do I got to travel to Australia? He Tishar Shom Vadikan. She can stay there and I'll be here. Hey, Yishvul Matzah, the main thing is that I found her. That's it. Okay, so rest assured, she's the right girl. Finished. And we'll live together, you know, for the rest of our lives. I'll live in Israel, she'll live in Australia. And that's my bashert. Done. Doesn't seem very logical. No. It's correct, he found the woman. Now you have to join together. Walking bias mishutav to establish a joint home. Baruch Hashem Shemotza, thank God you found. As a shalav rishon, hakoshu kvarvar, the hardest step, the first step, you pass by, you find that she is the right girl. Okay, so lovely skademos, but you gotta move further, you gotta get married now. So, that's the point he's saying. You can find something that's amazing, but now you've got to combine it with what else is there. So you got a wonderful girl, you got a wonderful boy, but you can't just say, okay, and now we have a wonderful, wonderful boy, we'll just leave it like that. No, the boy and the girl have to get together. So, limtso es hamoach levad, limtso es halev levad, to find the mind alone, and to find the heart alone, levad es shigam sesu shomatzigola, that is a big find. To really find your brain, and to activate your brain, and to use it to learn Talmud, and Chumash, and all that, that's a great thing that you're using it. And for a person to be emotionally charged and to do chesed and all these things, that's another amazing find. But now they're still working independently of each other. And that's not good. There's people who don't find their brains. There's those who don't find their hearts. There's those who don't find either one. Once you found your heart and you found your mind, you gotta find a way to combine the two of them and work them together. And that's how he defined Yerushalayim before. So Yesh Lanu Moach, Yesh Lanu Lev. So Baruch Hashem, we have a mind, we have a heart. So now we know the famous concept. Kishem Shirachmon Aliba Boy. Just like there's a concept, the Gemara says, God wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants your feelings. There's another statement that's obviously, even though it's not said, God also wants our brains. He wants both. He doesn't just want your emotions. He wants your brains. Kol Esak HaTorah K'doy Shebonoi Al Yegiyas HaMochin. The whole engagement in Torah is to build up the brains. Anachlan is Yagim Gam Harvik Yisuchlen. We make a lot of work. If you're learning a yeshiva and you're learning Gemara, you're doing a lot of toiling to activate your brains. Yeshem HaToyim V'Servim Kikivan Shirachmona Liba Boy HaReish Lo Tzarech Lumot. There are those who think that since the Talmud says God wants your heart, you don't got to learn. Rachman al-San, Hashem should save us from such a mistaken idea. Harei kfar haradu chazal, Rebbe's already taught us, ki lo amoretz chasid, an ignorant person cannot be pious. Uli lilmodi efshel liyos talmud chochem v'vid Hashem. If you don't learn, it's not possible to be a scholar, and more importantly, it's not possible to serve Hashem properly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doresh meitanu moach. Hashem demands from us our brains. Hashem wants us to work on learning Torah. Hashem also wants our heart, because that's what the Gemara says. He wants our heart. Next page, Nun Imalev. And Hashem requires us to combine the mind and the heart of Avzachas in one place. But there, on the one hand, he wants to have us build up our minds. But there, lekach he achas. There's only one way to develop a Jewish mind. Even by Torah Kedusha, only by focusing on learning Torah. Zeh chatziach ed shel avoda. That's one half of the avoda. If you don't learn, you cannot be a complete Jew. It is impossible. You got to have the mind. But then there's another part to build up your heart. As the pasuk says, Hashem, purify our hearts to serve you in truth. To remove the veils that cover up the heart. To be a feeling person. To be emotional, to feel. So you've got to do both, but you've got to combine the two of them. And, because obviously, I don't remember if he gave the examples or is giving the examples, I can't remember what I have done with you yet or not. Person wants to be kind. Okay? Want to have mercy on a person. But how does the Torah tell you to have mercy? I want to help this person. How do you help this person? I guess I'll help the person the way I think would be a good idea, but how do you know it's a good idea? I don't know. I guess I'm smart enough to figure out myself. No, you're not smart enough to figure out yourself. You have to look what the Torah says. You see, learn the Rambam. The Rambam says there's 8 levels of giving charity. Right? Oh, I'm gonna help the person. I'm gonna give him money in front of the whole congregation. I'm gonna give him money. Yeah, but that's gonna embarrass him. You know, I feel so bad for him. I'm gonna go right in front of everybody and just give him money. You can't do that. You're not using your brains. And it turns out the kindness isn't even a kindness. No. There's rules, you know. You can't do certain things in order to do kindness. Right? But on the other hand as well, you're learning Torah, but that Torah can't just be cold and distant from Hashem. It's a Torah that's supposed to bring feelings of love to Hashem. When you walk away from learning, you have to feel a closeness to Hashem. You have to feel how much you love Hashem by learning what is Hashem's knowledge about Hashem and what Hashem wants. It has to be an emotional feeling that comes out of the intellectual learning. So you really have to be working both cylinders at the same time. Whatever you're engaged with, the mind and the heart have to be working in tandem. And then that information and that actions, they become meaningful. You're doing a kindness. Why am I doing a kindness? Because I'm trying to emulate the Creator so I can get close to the Creator. That's what my mind is telling me, what I should be thinking when I am emotionally engaged. If not, you're missing the boat and you have a split personality. You're learning Torah and it's not getting you close to Hashem. You're doing acts of kindness in a way that isn't an act of kindness and it's also not getting you close to Hashem. So what's the purpose of doing? The purpose is to get close to Hashem. Nothing's materializing from that. So then, you know, so what's it helping? Yeah.
So this is, I mean, this is great.
But.
No, no, I remember a few years ago back behind the beer store when we were learning,
What a good memory.
And we talked about, we were going to speak today about, you know, your intellect is a filter and you filter out things and you should park your intellect and learn. And so we're talking about using your intellect and your emotion and combining, which is great. But we learned when we learned this a while ago, we talked about, like I say, your intellect acts really as a filter. And you filter out through your biases things that you want to reject, and you're not then accepting what you should be learning. So you can't have it both ways.
No, what he's saying is, it's a good question. Boy, you have a good memory, man. Your natural intellect is a filter. You have to now use your brains to say, I have to go beyond my natural intellect and develop the godly intellect. You have brains. Korach had brains, right? Right. Problem is, his brains was his problem.
Or was it his emotion?
What everyone would say, the emotion made his intellect become a filter. His intellect could not accept certain things. His intellect could not accept, why didn't he get this position? He couldn't accept, why do I have to have God tell me what to do? And things like that. That is a raw, undeveloped intellect. And that raw, undeveloped intellect, that's the filter that you have to get around. But how do you get around it? Part of it is, okay, I have to know there's a higher intellect, and that's God's intellect, that I must learn God's intellect. That's the point. When you learn Torah, and the Torah says, you know, let's say we're learning last night, you know, your intellect could say, you know, if a person kills unintentionally, you know, so that's life. Let him go on with life. The Torah says, no. He has to go to a city of refuge. Now, you, with your own intellect, would say, why does he have to do that? It's not logical. You know, he should be ripped away from himself just because it was unintentional. The Torah says, you know, nice try, but God's intellect says you're wrong. Your intellect says, why do I need to wear tzitzis? I could remember Hashem anyway. God says, your intellect is wrong. You have to use my intellect. And that's why you're learning, to develop God's intellect and that to become your intellect. So that's that filter we're talking about, getting rid of the filter of the faulty intellect. So now when you have a real godly intellect, but that, even that alone, a godly intellect's not enough if you are feeling inside you how good and how wonderful and how amazing it is that I am connecting to God's intellect. That's the point that he's saying. So you got to get them both. Now we're not, you know, when you're, you know, going through a tough Gemara in the room next door and I got a chart and everything else, you know, in the middle of that, you're not thinking of, oh, how wonderful this is. You got to use your brains totally or you won't be able to catch it. But then when you finish, you go, ah, that was amazing. That was amazing now to see all the different layers of understanding in the Gemara.
When we did that one with the hammer and the thing falling off, and we talk about how you say it, how you read it.
Right, right.
When we finished, we all thought that was incredible.
Yeah, okay, so not every day are you lucky to get to such a ease of entry to see the awesomeness of the learning. But it's something you have to say, Baruch Hashem, I learned a little more of Hashem's intellect. Ah, well, how fortunate I was. I feel amazing that I learned a little more of God's Torah. I know more of God's Torah. That's amazing. Right? That's what could be lacking. So HaMashkiach, and this thing he also spoke out in another book. HaMashkiach Rabbeinu Yeruchim Amir HaYomer, the Mashkiach Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, from the Mashkiach of the Yeshivas Mir of Blessed Memory, he said, Ein b'bri adam shemesugal ertzach. Really, in the creation of human beings, there's no one who is really capable of murder, essentially. You know, as a person to begin with. That's what he says. But I see there's a lot of murderers. What do you tell me? People aren't capable of murdering. We see a lot of murderers. So what does he answer? Atshuvahi, who pashut lo margi sheish od mishu chusmenu. He mamish doesn't feel that there's anybody in the world besides himself. If a person has developed a mental attitude that there's nobody but me in the world, then he's capable of murdering. But essentially, a person is born with the ability to feel and be sensitive for others. But if you desensitize yourself, then yeah. But the essence of a true person who should be a feeling person of other people could never kill anybody else. Imanu ayam margish, if a person was a feeling person, who lo hayirazech, he couldn't kill. Rak adam sichli kar yochel ertzoch ki enu margish hasheni. Only a cold, calculating intellect is able to murder, because he doesn't feel that there's another person in the world. Same idea. If you're just without any emotion, what would stop you from killing people? The person is obligated to build a feeling of emotions. Lahargish is asked to feel himself. Lahargish is also to feel others. Lahargish is called Amita Sechaim, to feel the entire truth of life, to be emotionally connected to everything. Hashalav habod. And the next step is uichud amochalev. Now you got to combine the two, the brain and the heart. Mash yudea huchash. That which he knows, he feels. He knows that there's a Gehenna. He feels that there's a Gehenna. How? In other books, he gave us five steps. How to feel that there's a Gehenna. Now I know it. Now I've got to feel it. How am I going to feel it? There's mental exercises you do to bring that feeling, that knowledge into your feeling realm. And that which you feel, you now have to educate it with knowledge so the feeling is channeled properly. He's going to give more examples throughout. Where am I? Hashalav. I did that, right? Yeah. That is the personal redemption of every soul. And that's the overall redemption of the entire Jewish people. You know, in other words, for you, a redeemed person is a free person. You can't be free unless you have both fires burning. The fire of the intellect, the fire of the emotion. Otherwise, you become a slave to either one. Right? And you've got to be able to, when you merge them, then you're not a slave to either one of them. Yes, Sam?
So when you talk about emotions, I think that's too generalized a term, because there are two kinds of emotions. There are the positive emotions and negative emotions. People that
let's stop. There's not negative emotions.
Yes, there are.
There's using an emotion in the wrong place.
Well, that's a negative emotion?
No. It's a positive emotion. Every emotion is positive. The question is when you use it will determine if you've used it properly or not.
So then the intellect comes in to tell you if it's proper or not. Is that the idea?
When you're making free will choices, the chooser, not necessarily based on intellect, you will choose based on what you want. Based on a number. You're applying it in the wrong way. Murder is a good thing when you are killing a criminal. It's good to murder. Because it's not murder, it's good to kill someone when it's appropriate to kill him. If somebody is coming to you with a knife and wants to kill you, it's appropriate to take a gun and shoot him.
But he comes to you with a knife, what is his emotion?
So he is using, again, I don't know what his emotion, he could have a number of emotions. He could be angry about something. Angry, it's probably angry at certain things. He's using the emotions in the wrong place. Now, if you have a Torah intellect, it will tell you when to use the emotion properly. You are allowed to get angry at certain times, very rarely, but at certain times. But you have to know when to get angry. You get angry when you see a Chilul Hashem. For God's honor, you get upset about something, and you're supposed to be upset about that. Right? In a controlled way. Not very often, anger is to be used very little, like less than 1%. No, right. Occasionally, you're supposed to get angry. On rare occasion, when the intellect properly used says you should get angry at something. Right? Pinchas, next week's parsha, he got angry and he asked Moshe, should I use the anger this way? And Moshe said, yes, use the anger this way and kill these people. So it's, but if without a merged mind and intellect, then you don't know, then you'll use good emotions in the wrong place and then it's not going to work. Okay, continuing now with the words of the Mesil Shasharim. The Mesil Shasharim says, "V'yechzar mina bilti chachomim l'miyat hasakosam oso." So there'll be deficiency with the non-scholars because of their lack of ability to achieve. Atshiyadamu rov bnei adam. So therefore, most people will have the following impression. Shachasidus toli b'amiris mizraim harbe. People are going to think that the whole chasidus is based on saying a lot of tehillim, viduyim aruchim od, extended confessions, tzomos kashim, difficult fasts, tefilas kerch v'shelag, and immersing yourself in snow and ice. They're going to think that's all chasidus is. Kulam dvar mesher ena sechel nachem. These are things that the intellect isn't comfortable with. and one's brains isn't calm with. In other words, we can't accept that. In other words, the people who aren't so bright, they know there's certain Hasidic activities you do. So they do the activities, but they don't really understand why they're doing it, but they think it's making them into holy people. So we were going to think, you know, Hasidus is for the nutballs. There are concepts of inflicting certain physical pain upon yourself to focus away from one's bodily needs. Rabbi Nachman fasted almost all the time, turning until he was almost like nothing. But he did that so he'll have so little focus on his body that he's able to get much more of a focus on his spirit. You know, if it's done with common sense and it's done with a good intellect, you know, for rare individuals, it can be done. But, you know, some people just see, oh, the tzaddik rolls in snow. I guess I'm going to roll in snow. But you're nowhere near where he's at. So you're going to see a bunch of who don't know any Torah. You know, this was the early criticisms of Hasidism. Yeah, people who can't learn Torah, they just say Tehillim all day, go to the mikvah all day long, you know, jump in ice, and klap al chetz, and they're religious people. It's ridiculous. Right? You want to say? No, I think in the Vardic they tell the guys to do things that made them look foolish. They say, go into a store that sells coats and say, can I buy an ice cream bar? Right. Knowing that, you know why? To learn humility. So people are going to say, are you nuts? Are you crazy? What are you going to such a store for? And to hear it a lot of times, you forget worrying about what will people think about me. You know, sometimes you have to do activities. One of the worst things you could have is an attitude that, whatever I do, I better be careful what people think about me. Right? You know, I'm going to look weird. You know, I can't wear a kippah at work because people are going to think I'm weird. So you know what? Do a million weird things so you don't worry about people thinking you're weird anymore. Then you can do mitzvahs without worrying. You know, do something that's embarrassing to yourself. Go into a store, a clothing store. Can I have an ice cream with a banana split? And somebody says, "No, look at you. What? It's a clothing store." I know, but can't you get me an ice cream anyway? Well, you know, are you crazy? If you absorb that a lot of times, you're never going to be embarrassed to do a mitzvah. You're going to learn not to care what people think. But that's similar, but not exactly. Well, no, but it's very efficient. It's very efficient if you do it enough. You do it enough. So it's no different. You know, people do not like to, again, the one volunteer job in a shul that almost no one wants to do is to volunteer to collect money for the shul. Right? No one is comfortable. Very few people are comfortable saying, you know, shul's doing an event, we need some money, go to exchange. Why? Why don't you want to do that? Because you feel uncomfortable. And say, what do you mean? You're doing a mitzvah. The shul needs money. The school needs money. You're doing a mitzvah. What do you care what people, well, what are they going to think of me? They're going to think I'm a what do you care what they think? Just ask. So what happens the first time you call? And you're nervous, right? After you make 50 calls, and you get 48 no's, but 2 yeses, you say, big deal, I'm used to being rejected. You know, no one likes rejection. It's hard to take rejection. Well, you're too caught up into yourself. You're not collecting for yourself, you're collecting for the shul, you're collecting for a school. What do you want? You're doing a mitzvah. What do you care what people think? Oh, but we care what people think. What's wrong with you? Why are you calling? No. We like people to say yes, yes, yes. You gotta have an attitude. I don't need people to say yes to me. What do I need people to say? Hashem is saying yes to me. Just because Hashem isn't saying it every minute to me, that makes it any less? No, that person said no, this one no. You have to say yes. And you know what? Yeah, you get yeses. You get no's. You don't think people say flat out to me, no, I say the shul needs money. I'm sorry, I don't have the money to give. And then they go buy a condominium for $750,000. They have no money to give. You don't think that hurts? No, but he had no money before he bought it. The second condominium, the second one, besides the house in Toronto. Okay? So you don't think it bothers. Hey, what do I care? Then you go to the next guy. And the next one, yes, gives you. But what happens? You end up never asking anybody and getting nothing. And then people wonder, why is there no money? Somebody should get the money. Who's somebody? But not me, because I don't want to be rejected. You got problems. What are you embarrassed? Are you doing anything bad? If you're doing something bad, you should be embarrassed. What are you doing bad? You call up, you ask. So they say no. So yes. That's all.
But they have the professional money.
That's not good professional.
No, I would say what's the principle? How does it work for them?
A professional gets beyond feelings of rejection.
It's a job,
and he gets paid to do the job. But even if you get paid, even if you're paid, you have to want to do it. You have to not have feelings of what I care what people think. And the truth is, you shouldn't care what people think as long as you're not doing something wrong. If you're doing something bad, you have to worry about people's feelings. You're calling up, can you please give money to the shul? Did you do anything bad? And the person says, what are you calling me up for? You know, I don't want to get... Okay, relax. Just called you. You could just say no. Thank you very much. Good night. Won't call you anymore. I'll call the next person. But that's feeling of rejection. So they reject, you know, they didn't reject you, they rejected Hashem. They rejected giving the mitzvah tzedakah. It's not that you did anything bad. You know, the society, you know, giving you this feeling, you can't, you know, call up anybody anymore. You can call. What are you worried about? So that's worried what other people think. So that's what Yehudas was getting to. Anyway, let's come back inside. Adar Klal, in general, generally speaking, in the days of Litzada, certainly, and even now to a certain extent, that the wise people are not the one engaged in practicing Chassidus. El Anshalei, but people of heart. Now that is true. You gotta have a heart to be involved in Chassidus. Because Sher Yesh Lev, when there's a heart without a mind, Yishur Rakamaisim Im Hislavus, you're left with only actions with enthusiasm, you're missing a solid structure of Chassidus that provides avodas Hashem, service to Hashem. For a klal tomeru, the rule always is sof maaseh. We say this in L'chadori. Sof maaseh b'machshava tchila. The end of the action depends on what? The initial thoughts. Whatever. The result always depends and what you came into it, with what thoughts. At Chassidus, what's the end of Chassidus? Sofa Asiya. At the end of Chassidus is action. What are you doing? That is the end of Chassidus. But, it begins with your mind. You gotta think about what you're going to be doing. So a wise person could have a complete structure. He begins with the following thought. There's a concept that wisdom builds the house. Until the last point of activities. But a person who has no wisdom, then the whole shape of his service is lacking. You can't say the guy isn't thinking at all. But he thinks too quickly. He's too impetuous. He wants to get final things of what to do. Just tell me what to do. I want to be a chaz. Just tell me what to do. Without delving deeply into what's behind what you're doing. Should I go to the mikvah? I'll go to the mikvah. Should I say 10 chapters of Tehillim? Say 10 chapters of Tehillim. But why are you doing it? What's the structure? What's the direction? Like why? Like, it's not there. Kamo Paul Poshet Bimifal, just like a simple worker in a factory. They say, listen, take this package here, take it over there. He does this. He gets instructions every 5 minutes. He does. But he doesn't go any deeper to understand what is he accomplishing here. What's this package over here doing by taking it here, and how's that helping there? He's just a gopher. So you have people who are gophers in their Yiddishkeit. They just, whatever they're supposed to do, they don't understand for a minute what it's all about. It's good to give stuff. Give tzedakah. Did you think about giving the tzedakah? Why are you giving tzedakah? What are you trying to accomplish with giving the tzedakah? No. You just give. So you're lacking the whole structure. Giving tzedakah is because I want to emulate the Creator. Because I love the Creator. And I can only emulate the Creator if I do things like the Creator. And that makes me into a better person. And I feel closer to Hashem. Whoa, that's a whole different story. That's a whole different action. Adam Choshev, and he's saying a very scary part next. Adam Choshev Lazaki Chasnavsho. Let's say a person phrase, he wants to purify his soul. Vitoval Shin Yitzvils. He goes to the mikvah, this is exaggeration, 310 times. This is a mystical thing, to going 310 times. That's a lot of times going to the mikvah. Well, Aina Bainabim Makbil Ha'emek, Ali Day Eden Batar Gosh, but he doesn't parallel that with learning Torah in depth. So let's say you've purified your body. You know, let's say you fasted and you've gone to the mikveh and you've said Tehillim and doing all these things. So you are, you know, removing yourself from your body. You are engaged in some kind of purification of the body. So mitchila lihisgalus etzel v'china yos yochanis. In the beginning, he feels a little more spiritual. Ain sham havana, but there's no understanding. Ain chach mein amoka. There's no wisdom. There's no depth. Ain haleich machshava muvna. Yishrag zikov. There's not a path of the mind taken anywhere. It's just purity of body. What happens when you're purifying the body but there's no clarity of the brain? So what do we see in our multitude of sins? There's all kinds of futuristic fortune tellers. There's all kinds of people who maintain that they can do all kinds of salvations for people. All kinds of charlatans out there. It says, oh, I feel an aura. I feel an aura that there's negative things here. You know, let wear this thread and you know, everything will be fine. And these people are, you know, pseudo-spiritual. They're pseudo-spiritual, but their brains aren't taking them anywhere. Right? So you get whack jobs, these kinds of people. And you gotta be careful from these kinds of people. I'm not saying they may mean well, but it's crazy what they're doing. Chalkam avar ezeshu zikuch shel guf. Part of them is involved in some purification of the body. Well, ain shem dasar, but there's no Torah wisdom. Ain shem och de kedusha. There's no brain of holiness. Yesham ksas zikuch. There's a little bit of purity. So he dug mal adam shemiskal esen lakudas rachanis. Achu eni yodei lan loch esol. That's an example of a person who has a little bit of spiritual thing, but doesn't know where to take them. I don't know what to do with it. It's a good feeling, but you don't know where to take it. Let's give an example. So you give a guy an airplane. Here's Air Force One. It's a gift. Mayor says you can fly from country to country. But he doesn't know how to pilot it. He doesn't know the manual. It's a great gift, having a plane. I wish I had a plane. Whoever I want to go, but I don't know how to fly it. What do you want to take a flight now without studying and you're in the pilot seat? So it's a kunestafash, that's a real life danger to the person. He has the power to fly, but he doesn't know how to use it. That's the same thing. You have the power to be spiritual, but you don't know what direction to take it into. So you could be a witch. That's in the days of the Talmud. You know, the Bible, there were witches. There are people who had certain abilities to be spiritual, they just didn't know how to use it. Adam shows a sigufim, person who does all kinds of, self-inflictions. Told to his careful shell of the Kavanah Torah. He immerses himself in ice and snow with the right intention. I want to be pure and holy. He did get some kind of purification of the body. But he's not using his brain with it. He only uses the heart. He feels impurity. He feels some kind of dullness. He feels very far away from Hashem. Then he goes to the mikveh. So what does that help? He feels no connection to Hashem. He goes to the mikveh. The tefillah, the going to the mikveh didn't make him any smarter. He just adds on to purifying the body. It boils in him a certain feeling of holiness. He doesn't know where to take it. He doesn't know how to use it. For example, Adam Toval Arbitus, guy goes to mikvah a lot of times. He's able to be so spiritual, he's able to notice other people's sins. But how do you correct the other people's sins? As Zeludah, I don't know that. He doesn't know, he only sees. Mixer. Let's say a guy sees a mixer, a blender, place, but doesn't know how to use the blender. But I see the blender. Seeing doesn't help at all. Spirituality without using the brains that the Torah can give you, Kimat ve'enam ilam klal. Almost doesn't help a person at all. Upam harbi afmasik. It can even harm a person even more. And that's the problem. You've got to use, you know, you want to be spiritual. And that's, you got this going around all the time. People, you know, purporting to be great rebbes. Oh, just do this. You know, give me $20,000 and I will say certain tehillim for you. And I will think about you and my energy will merge with your energy and I will help you. You know, zeigesund, you know. And you got to be like, and if you have a beard and a kapata, it looks good. And any Baal Tshuva falls for it like that. They look weird. He's dressed up like that. Ooh, he. And let's say, you know, he looks like he's somewhere else. Yeah, he is somewhere else. You know, oh, I saw a very spiritual man. What does it help? It's not tzaddik. Right? You go down Shepherd Street, you know, every house, palm reader, this, that, you know, this thing. Yeah, it's spiritual people, but there's nothing to, there's no meat on the bone. Yeah, so that's the issue. All right, we'll continue. We're in the middle, we'll continue this tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.